From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 29th day of April 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Washington, D.C. plans are in place to cut another $3 billion, that's with a B, from the Farm Bill over the next decade, and the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standard, will undergo a series of hearings this summer. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And we'll hear from entomologist Mike Gray about the saturated soils and what prospects it might bring with it for control of insect pests in corn. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, speaking of saturated soils, to see if they'll ever dry out. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Well, let's check in on the numbers for Monday afternoon here at Illinois Public Media. Futures finished in Chicago at the CME Group with the May contract and the soft red winter wheat 21 cents higher at $7.09¾ on its settlement price. The July harvest month at $7.16½, up 24. The hard red in Kansas City, a gain today of 25¼ cents at $7.75¾. From the corn pit back in Chicago, the nearby May contract at $6.84. Locked the limit up 40 cents higher at the end of the day. July up the limit as well at $6.59¾. Corn settled the September contract, the 40 cent limit higher at $5.84¾. That takes care of the old crop months. What about new crop? 35½ cents higher in the December futures at $5.59½ on a settlement price. March at $5.69½, up 34½, and next year's May at $5.77¼, up 34 cents. May bean futures were 41 cents higher at $14.71¾ on the settlement. July at $14.08¾, up 27¾. August at $13.45, 26½ higher, and November beans at $12.29¼, up 19 cents for the day. Bean meal gained $13.50. Bean oil was down 20 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle in the June at 122.55, down a nickel. August feeders at 149.87 and a half, a buck 30 lower. And June lean hogs down 37 and a half at 92.15. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The nearby crude oil futures trading the June contract, $94.29 a barrel, $1.29 higher. The RBOB gasoline at 282.7, that's down 0.7 cents. Ethanol trading 257.2, 11.3 higher. And the spread between those two is now 25½ cents wide. That's much narrower than it was yesterday or on Friday, down 12 cents from Friday to Monday. Natural gas at $4.39¢, 16.8 cents higher for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.89¢, that's 0.3 cents lower. Gold futures finished at $1,467.40 an ounce, up $13.80, and the U.S. dollar at 82.14, that's down 0.35 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see sunny skies this afternoon. Hopefully they'll stick around for a while, but we'll find out more about that when we talk a little bit later in the program with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They, of course, are in Chicago, Illinois, and looking down from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. The rest of the forecast for the nearby few days looks like this for Champaign Urbana. We should see, let me bring it up. There it is. Mostly sunny skies this afternoon and a high of 76 degrees. Partly cloudy this evening and a low of 56. Tomorrow, sunny and 82. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and 60. Wednesday, mostly sunny and 82. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy and 54. And then Thursday, a 50% chance of showers. A few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and a high near 68. Showers likely on Thursday night and 48. And Friday showers, mostly clear, cloudy after that with a high near 60 degrees.
Lease and services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It is a Monday afternoon. Let's take a look at what's been happening in the futures markets on the phone line, as usual for a Monday. It's Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities up in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, first of all, I want to let all the folks out there that listen to the agricultural programming know that we made our challenge. We were looking for 150 callers to call in and support financially for the ag programming last week, and because of that, they did it. We picked up an extra $4,700 from many of our business partners, including your company, Bates Commodities. So thanks to the callers, and thanks to you and Pete Manhart and Bates Commodities, too.
Well, we feel it's a good cause there, Todd, and I'm glad everybody stepped in to help out because we like to keep you in business.
No, well, thank you so much. It was kind of a sweat at the end. I was looking at the numbers because we ended the challenge, or we ended the week. We were looking for $120,000 across all segments of the programming content, and we were looking for 150 folks to call in support of agriculture. And as we got to the end of Friday, I was really fearful that we would get to the 120 just before we got to the 150. Well, in that case, you'd have your money back in your back pocket there. So, but we finished everything off Friday evening, and we made the 150 before we got to the 120, about the same time, actually, at the same time. So it worked out really nicely. Hey, let's turn your attention now, Kurt, to what happened in Chicago today. I suppose everything there is turning on the weather market.
Yeah, a little bit more urgency now that the forecast has turned more towards a wetter pattern here. With the tight old crop inventory that we're dealing with, the anticipation of this new crop coming along and getting in the ground in a timely fashion, has put a little bit of fear into the marketplace. Also, we saw quite a bit of technical buying today. The market broke right after the March stocks report, and we sort of consolidated, built a little base, and as this fundamental news pushed the market higher, we tripped in some buy programs where the green line went above the red line, indicating to be a buyer, and so the traders had to follow suit on that, and basically we've put ourselves in a position here where the momentum has turned higher going to the end of the month. There was probably a little bit of short covering here today as traders view tomorrow as the last trading day of the month. Then the key is the weather, of course. It's going to be wet, cloudy. Some forecasters say the sun's not going to come out until about May 11th. So there's pretty good conviction out there that planting progress is going to be at a snail's pace. This afternoon we're looking for anywhere from 8 to 10% of the corn crop being put in the ground the first time. We'll see what comes up. There is a little activity taking place. I know of two areas that are putting a little corn in the ground today. I don't know if there will be much activity tomorrow, but once we get into Thursday, that's when the moisture is supposed to increase and bring things back to a halt again.
So what parts of the Midwest are planting at this time?
Up around Polo, Illinois, mm-hmm. up around Rockford, up in there's a pocket there.
Yep.
Talked to a guy up around Mendota. There's a little spot going there. Those are the two areas I picked up on towards the north.
Not a lot, but a few folks are running
right.
Planters. Hey, I was looking at the nearby May corn, and of course there's that big gap that needs to be filled or if things are to go higher. I didn't quite do that today. It got stopped, of course, by the 40-cent trading limit. I think there's about, 7 cents left to fill that gap. Does the synthetic show that will be filled when we open the overnight trade?
Synthetic showed the July corn trade at 660, 660 and a half. The September around 85 to 85 and a half. You're talking maybe a penny or two higher. There was no trading limit in the May contract because we're going into the delivery process on that. But in order to fill the gap, that lead contract needs to get up to 695. That was the low right after the report. Today's high was 88, so we've got a little ways to go.
So it has work yet to do because it could have done that today.
Yeah, the July's got even more work in it to fill the chart gap in the July. We'd have to move on up to this 676 area, just a little bit more work to be had there.
And it appears the technicians are not convinced that producers won't get corn planted in that case, because I would think if they were, they would have filled the gap maybe today, and certainly there would have been some, it would have gotten closer maybe in the May contract.
Yeah, we would, going into deliveries here, just not a whole lot of delivery stocks around, and there's a little bit of urgency. But the problem I see, I welcome the rally, don't get me wrong, but the problem I see is I hate to see a too big of a rally here, because we're just having an awful hard time in corn maintaining that demand base. I'm fearful that we'll see some switching to other sources here, and I hate to lose our demand base here, and we need to get that confidence back into the marketplace.
So on December corn, or the new crop, we get to 559.5 when producers look at their fall bids or the futures market. Should they make some considerations at this point?
Well, if you turn back the clock to a week ago, you'd given anything to be up here to make some sales, and we're here. We warrant some more price floor protection. We feel basis will firm as we go into this fall. We like being flexible with our marketing. We continue to push the price floor type of protection. Close above 550 here projects a move on up to the 580 basis December futures. So I would shoot for 575, 580 is the next benchmark to make some additional sales. But you got to remember, we're in a weather market. You know, and these things go straight up and they come straight down. So hopefully they'll go straight up here for a couple of days.
And you have same considerations for the soybeans?
Yeah, beans is, gosh, if you think we're going to lose 2 million acres of corn and we'll have more bean acres, that beans would have been lower on the day. But the significance of the bean market, when you talk to the cash guys, and I know you do that too, Todd, mm-hmm. is that we're finding it's awful, awful difficult to buy a truckload of beans from anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, this old crop bean picture might be just a little bit more bullish than the corn picture here. So it generated some bull spreading. The May was up over 41 cents, where the November is only up 19 cents. You know, same thing in the July, taking a little bit of leadership there. Our fear is if the corn market kind of runs out of gas, this new crop bean could also run out of gas, too.
A bit later in the program, not too far away now, Dave Dickey will report just for a moment or two on the RFS and it being opened up at least for hearings this summer. And I don't know whether they'll be just in D.C. or across. I didn't pay enough attention, I guess, across the Midwest. My guess is just in D.C. Much in the way of concerns there about them getting back into the renewable fuel standard?
Yeah, that's the thing is, if we move higher in here, the end user having to buy grain to, for renewable fuel,
right.
You know, it's just going to be, that's the fear.
Yeah, that's okay. I understand. How about for livestock producers? You've been watching that market?
Firmness in the cash. April goes off the board tomorrow. We're 128. June's discount, 122. We've been optimistic the fat market here, especially June's. A little bit of demand fear, but now as we move into May here, demand starts to pick up. We feel these June's have a shot to move them back up to 126, 128 area. Feeders. As long as corn stays strong, feeder's going to stay weak.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You know, I don't suppose I say it often enough, but thank you. Thank you so much for listening. It means so much to Dave Dickey and I. Speaking of Dave, he'll be along in just a moment. He'll have all the ag news for you this afternoon.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas is planning a farm bill that will cut $38 billion in spending over 10 years, $3 billion more than last year, with $20 billion coming from the food stamps account and $18 billion from the rest of the bill. Lucas has scheduled a markup of the bill on May 15th. Lucas did not provide details on how the $18 billion would be divided among the other titles of the bill, but Lucas did say that the commodity title would have the same basis as last year, which would mean elimination of the direct payments program, which costs $4.9 billion a year. The bill would create two new farm programs, a shallow loss program to pay for losses not covered by crop insurance, and a program with payments when crop prices fall below target prices. The House Energy and Commerce Committee will hold hearings this summer to examine the renewable fuel standard. The RFS, part of the Clean Air Act, was first introduced in 2005 and amended in 2007. It mandates volumes of renewable fuel to be blended into petroleum-based fuels, which ratchets up each year through 2022. The total volume mandate for 2013 is 16.55 billion gallons, of which 13.8 billion gallons is to come from starch-based ethanol, primarily made from corn. A lawsuit that could have led to restrictions on hundreds of pesticides across the country has been dismissed by a California court. In a 33-page ruling, the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California in San Francisco dismissed a lawsuit which, with leave to amend, meaning the plaintiffs, the Center for Biological Diversity and Pesticide Action Network North America, have 30 days to file an amended lawsuit or 60 days to appeal to the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. On January 20, 2011, the groups filed suit alleging EPA violated the Endangered Species Act by not consulting federal wildlife officials about the potential effects that pesticides and other ag chemicals would have on hundreds of species. A spokesperson from the CBD said the group is leaving its options open, including amending the complaint or filing an appeal. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Hey, up next, the floods in the Midwest have some farmers wondering, hoping even the saturated soils will control an insect pest of corn. I'll have more with Extension entomologist Mike Gray.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
The spring rains in the Midwest have kept farmers out of their fields for too long. They would have liked to have been planting corn in places like Illinois and Indiana and Iowa by mid-April. Instead, the fields were rain-soaked. So, ever optimistic, the question started to come about the immediate good too much rain might cause. For instance, would it kill the eggs of the western corn rootworm and possibly mean there would be less of a need to try to control it? Well, probably not. Thanks, University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray.
From a rootworm's perspective, they're probably doing just fine right now because they're still in that egg stage. While they're in that egg stage, even if they're submerged in water, particularly if the water temperatures are cool, as they are this spring, those eggs are probably doing just fine. From a producer's perspective, I'm sure they would be hopeful that those eggs would die, but they're probably doing just fine.
There is a point at which a flooded or saturated soil would cause harm to the western corn rootworm, but it is much later in the season, about the time of the larval hatch. It typically takes place from late May to early June.
I would anticipate larvae hatching from eggs sometime very late in May through early June. And so it's really too early to tell, you know, how these wet conditions are going to affect survivorship. Hopefully, these rains will stop at some point soon so we can get some corn in the ground. And then we'll wait and see a month from now what kind of soil conditions we have out there.
So the rain-soaked fields this spring have delayed planting and won't really affect the eggs of the western corn rootworm. The cooler weather, if it sticks around, could actually have an impact. It might push back the hatch a couple of weeks. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the closing market report on a Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market with Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. It's a beautiful afternoon. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing well. Can you guarantee that we can have seven more beautiful days like today in a row?
I wish I could. We'll talk to the guys who do weather a bit later, but my guess is no.
Probably not. I think that's why the markets were up so much today, because the answer is probably not.
Yeah, they were up sharply, and because of the weather, did producers call in and say, hey, this looks like a good one for me for new crop sales?
No. Most of the producers called in and said it's about time they realized that we're not getting corn planted. And we didn't buy very much old crop or new crop. Maybe a little bit more old crop corn as we approach that $7 level, but not very much new crop corn, and the beans or old crop beans are pretty well all sold out, so that was pretty non-existent as well.
If the weather forecast holds as it is now, what kind of upside potential do you think there is in the marketplace?
Well, you know, the technical guys would say another 15 to 20 cents in corn, and on beans, old crop beans, you can almost name your price. It just seems like there's just no end in sight on those old crop beans. New crop beans, you would think with more acres possibly switching from corn to beans at some point in time that the upside's limited on beans, maybe to 20, 25 cents. But, you know, if we can't get in the field next week, it certainly feels like there's still a little bit more upside. But that's the big question is, what's the forecast going to be for next week?
Yeah, at this point you feel comfortable waiting it out if you need to make some additional sales or pulling the trigger?
Well, I think
new crop, that is.
New crop. Yeah, if we can get that extra 10, 15, 20 cents, then I think I'd feel comfortable selling something, because, you know, now we're getting up to some prices that, you know, I think we can, you know, even with reduced yields, if we expect reduced yields, we could probably still make money at those levels.
And tell me about old crop and supplies. I know beans aren't around. How about a corn?
I think there's some old crop corn around. We're going to be $7, over $7 for cash. So we'll see if that draws anybody out. But so far it hasn't.
It would surprise me if it doesn't, I suppose. But maybe they're looking for $7.50.
Well, you know, that could be. I mean, those round numbers seem to bring it out. That's why I thought we might see a little bit more interest at $7. But as long as it's this wet, I think now people want to see what that forecast is next week. If it looks like we can get in the field next week, then I think maybe people would be happy with $7.
All right, go ahead and go through your numbers for
me. Okay, 701 on old crop corn, 542 new crop, 1493, almost to $15 on the old crop beans, 1208 on the new, and 696 on the wheat.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us here to take a look at the cash grain market each and every Monday afternoon. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy. They are in Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Shrimp Scampi Day. Shrimp were well known by the ancient Romans and Greeks, but shrimp scampi, as known in America, did not become popular until after World War II, when a number of Italian dishes went mainstream, often appearing as a staple on cafe and restaurant menus. One of the most popular dishes consisted of large prawn tails coated in breadcrumbs and deep fried. Incidentally, scampi is not one set recipe, but a generic name applied to several dishes composed of shrimp. On this day in agricultural history in 1768, George Brandt died. A Swedish chemist, he discovered the element cobalt in 1730. Cobalt is used in steelmaking and is an essential part of vitamin B12. In 1856, a shipment of 33 camels arrived at the Texas port of Indianola. They had been purchased on the North African coast for the U.S. Army to use in the deserts of the Southwest. In 1873, the first U.S. patent for a railroad coupler was issued to E.H. Janney of Alexandria, Virginia. And in 1998, Brazil, in light of increased soybean acres, agreed to set aside about 62 million acres of the Amazon rainforest for conservation. The cost of the project was estimated as much as $156 million. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Okay, go by area of the Midwest, and then maybe by day if you can. Tell me who can plant when, and I would suspect, although there are planters rolling in parts of the northern part of the state of Illinois, let's give them 2 days to what they really ought to be in. Tell me, who can go when?
Yeah, well, we're getting the open weather, which for some areas of the Midwest, particularly the northwestern belt, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska, they had open weather this past weekend. Now, today generally is an open day. Tomorrow also, with the exception of some scattered storms in portions of eastern Iowa, far northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, but the rest of Illinois, let alone the Midwest, will be open tomorrow. And for Wednesday, it's primarily areas east of the Mississippi River, Illinois again, Indiana, into Ohio, Michigan, southern Wisconsin will also be open. Out west, though, that's when we see rains begin in areas of Nebraska, western Iowa, into Minnesota later in the day on Wednesday. And this is a front that will be advancing very slowly across the Midwest and will be morphing into what we call a closed low or a upper-level storm system that basically sits and spins over the Midwest for an extended period of time. And so we see that beginning to evolve on Wednesday and then slowly work its way eastward across the Corn Belt as we go into the upcoming weekend and even lingering into the early part of next week. So all in all here, the best days here for planting are, you know, today, tomorrow, and then in the eastern areas on Wednesday.
The slow mover sounds like it'll dump a lot of rainfall just because it's slow. Am I right or wrong?
Well, it depends. Some closed lows do produce a heavier rainfall. Actually, this is one of them coming up. But other closed lows here don't necessarily produce the heavy rainfall totals and produce just kind of more drizzly, scattered light rains. But the fact that this one's kind of beginning to stall out initially out west, that is able to, you know, tap into this Gulf of Mexico moisture feed and produce heavier rainfall. Looks like kind of the epicenter here coming up in the areas of northern Missouri, Iowa, far western Illinois.
And how much rainfall?
Well, when all is said and done here, those areas could get in excess of 2 inches, even some localized heavier rains here. And even with some of the colder temperatures associated, some portions of Iowa could even see some snow with this as well.
Okay, now turn your attention to other parts of the world to produce corn and soybeans, China in particular.
Yeah, China is going to be improving here. Now, northeastern China has been very, very cold in Manchuria, their northern corn and soybean acreage. That is now in the process of changing, and by the end of this week, we do see warmer than normal temperatures evolving in that region, and that looks to persist all of next week. So those warmer temperatures are needed to aid in field work prep and planting.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks for being along with us. I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.